This traffic in commerce had brought with it a traffic in ideas, new teachers, new philosophers pouring into Athens. And we can name some of these, we know what their work was, and we can see their effects in Thucydides. Gorgias of Leontini, for example, a philosopher who was interested in rhetoric and also particularly interested in using what he called antitheses, oppositions. There's that key idea again that we've talked about in the context of Greek culture so often. Protagoras of Abdera, who proclaimed famously that man is the measure of all things, and on another occasion said, as to the gods, I do not know whether they exist or do not exist. Or Hippocrates, the founder of the new discipline of scientific writing about medicine, in which doctors would actually observe the course of a disease and try and work out a diagnosis based on the experience that they developed observing diseases, from which they could also offer then a prognosis. It is likely that this will happen as a result. Now, these kinds of developments, all new in Greek philosophy and thinking and in the cultural world of the Greeks in the late 5th century, all of these are reflected in Thucydides' work and play into the way that he shapes history. So that, for example, like Gorgias of Leontini, Thucydides too is interested in oppositions and antitheses. Well, this is the story of a war, so we're going to have certainly Athens versus Sparta. But there are also other antitheses in the work. There is Pericles, the cautious Athenian, versus Cleon, the impulsive Athenian. There is Alcibiades, the young, reckless Athenian towards the end of the war, contrasted with the very cautious and wise Nicias, Alcibiades also being somewhat dubious morally, Nicias being the most upright man of his day, according to Thucydides. And there's another antithesis, we've already explored this earlier, that of Athens the ideal, Athens of the funeral oration, the Athens of Pericles turning and saying, feast your eyes on the monuments of Athens and fill your heart with love for her, with Athens the barbaric, Athens during the plague, the Athenians who in the Melian dialogue will happily consign an entire population to slaughter if it suits them. Another effect that we see of this current education and these ideas on Thucydides is, of course, in the Hippocratic writing, the writing about medicine. And we've seen this in the plague in particular, but there are other places as well where Thucydides applies the same sorts of lessons. In the plague, he was able to talk about physical sickness. So, of course, the Hippocratic model is an obvious one. But also in Book 3, he describes the stasis, the internal conflict and civil war that destroyed the community of Corcyra. And in his description of that, the historian is actually analysing events in the political and social life of a state as if he were describing the symptoms of a disease. He's describing a sickness in the body politic. That's a metaphor that we understand quite commonly, but it's one that really is located here in Thucydides as early as the 5th century. His idea was, drawn from the Hippocratics, that the more accurate the observation, the clearer the understanding. And so his examining here of the pathology of war is designed to teach his readers how that pathology can be avoided in the future. It's important, I think, to notice here that this kind of analysis of affairs is essentially amoral. Thucydides is not interested in passing judgment on whether the Athenians are better than the Spartans or vice versa, so that one does not have the same kind of concern for moral justice that one has in Herodotus, where the Persians are presented as hubristic and arrogant. Think of Xerxes whipping the Hellespont because it dared to break his bridge of boats. Instead, here, what we find is simply a cold, scientific, sober attempt to isolate the truths of history, regardless of whether they are good or bad. And I think that this is most dramatically illustrated by the fact that at one point in his work, Thucydides has Cleon scolding the Athenians for failing to recognize that they possess an empire which is a tyranny over both those who plot against them and those who are ruled against their will. Cleon, the voice of realpolitik, saying, you have an empire. Don't base your decisions on sentiment. base your decisions on what must be done in order to rule more effectively. Now that we might expect from Cleon, the impulsive, the man who Thucydides clearly didn't like. But what is really interesting is that basically the same sentiment and the same words are put into the mouth of Pericles, who at one point also says, "You have an empire which is like a tyranny. Perhaps it was wrong to acquire it," he says, "but if you let go of it, you do so at your peril."